Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. The Herd brought to you by Jersey Mike Subs. Be a sub above. Live in L.A., it's The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1. Good to be back. Oh, my house is just a mess right now because we bought this older house and every room's been changed. So we're about 40% now through it, 35-40%. It is a mess. We have to order takeout.
That's pretty significant, though.
I know, but it is. I am over it. I am done with it. But you can do this over the course of years and years and years. You save money, do it, and just get it done. And we decided, let's just get it done. I'm not sure it was the right call. Have to eat out every night. Last night, you know, chicken fajitas. I gotta get something. And I'm like, at 9 o'clock, I'm eating. It's not good.
But chicken parm every night?
Well, I fall asleep fast. Last night, another great sleep night. Let me just tell you something. If you want to compete against this show, give up if I sleep well. Yeah, you just give up because it's not going to happen. Enes Kanter of the Blazers joins a couple minutes. You know, sometimes I remember when Tiger Woods was in his prime, and I think the course was called Westmoreland, and it was in Portland, Oregon. It was a little public course I would go to and just hit range balls. And I would go there, and people would complain about Tiger. They'd be like, "Oh, you talk about Tiger." And I remember turning to some old cranky guy and saying, "You're never going to see this again. It's like a meteor. You're never going to see somebody dominate golf for a decade like this. If you love golf and you don't like Tiger, that is a you problem." You have to understand, there is no other Tiger. That is it. Kobe to Michael is about as close as you can get. There's no more LeBrons. That's it. This is it. So, like, there's never going to be a Brady. It ain't happening again. So, just think about LeBron James. Is when he's made the playoffs, 9 straight times he's made the finals. Does everybody understand? 3 different teams, different teammates, flaky teammates, bunch of coaches, GMs, good owners, terrible owners. And I was just thinking that you got to appreciate it. And I was thinking about, as we get into the NBA playoffs, the 4 or 5 or 6 star players in this league. And not all of them I like. Or Juan is my number one guy, but the 2 big stars in America right now are NBA star and quarterback. Ryan Russillo just said that. That's the world we live in now. NBA stars and quarterbacks in America are royalty. And they all have, like, somebody in their other sport that is them. Like, for instance, LeBron is Tom Brady. The standard. Uniquely committed. Is beating Father Time. It makes no sense. Tremendous teammate. Motivating. Elevating. Makes everybody he plays with better. Selfless over selfish. LeBron and Brady. KD to me, and he's an all-time great, is Aaron Rodgers. Offensively, a freak. 7-footer is the best shooter in basketball. I mean, does Aaron Rodgers ever not throw off his back foot? And yet he's brilliantly accurate. They play different. Listen, they can take shots at the media. They're very socially media deft. They're aware of it. They don't get along with their team all the time. They don't get along with teammates all the time. They've got a few injuries piling up. It does concern you about their legacy. But these are people that are literally outliers. They play different. They are different. Both a little finicky, both a little passive-aggressive. Mahomes and Steph. Joyful, playful, flashy, fun. No question, have changed the game. When you draft a quarterback now, you're like, well, does he match it with Mahomes? Steph has changed basketball. Not as good as Michael, changed it more than Michael. They landed in the perfect spot. I mean, Golden State, what a perfect place to go. By the way, Kansas City, Andy Reid, all those stars. Very fun, youthful, playful game. Westbrook, who drives me nuts, and Cam Newton, who drives me nuts. All-time athletes, both MVPs, been to the finals, don't win enough, Both struggle with accuracy. Both have sort of a fashion vibe that is spectacular to people in their sport. They're both very unique. I mean, Cam's a power running quarterback. And Westbrook's the best rebounder as a guard ever. And their games are very different. To me, though, the game has moved away from both a little bit. They haven't aged gracefully. Russell Wilson is Dame, Damian Lillard. Both kind of buried in the Pacific Northwest. Neither ever changes their expression. Win, lose, or draw. It's the same emotional state, same face. Not ideal size. Both kind of came out of nowhere. Russell Wilson had to transfer to Wisconsin. Dame was at Weber State. Both are also known for something out of basketball. Dame's probably the league's best, like, rapper. Sierra, you know, star, marries Russell Wilson. Both are incredible leaders, and both are almost better under pressure. Actually, they love pressure. They're great in it. They're one of those guys where, like, their heartbeat doesn't raise as they take the race car around the corner at 200 miles an hour. And that's very unique even for greats. Giannis is Lamar Jackson, which is great with a lead, not as great trailing. They have a specific style. Both MVPs, both great. Neither feels like the face of a league. They were MVPs very early. Both we have real questions with today about postseason success. Total one of ones. Unique style. Never been anything even close to Lamar Jackson. And Giannis is, what's his comp? There really isn't one. I mean, Embiid is kind of Shaq. Dame is kind of Steph. There is no other, there's no comp for Giannis. Big Ben, to me, is a little Anthony Davis. God gave them great talent. Not exactly grinders in the offseason. Haven't been totally committed to working on their body, and injuries start piling up at a very young age. Both have a title. Both are better, I believe, as Robin than a Batman. I think Anthony Davis is great as LeBron's too. I think Big Ben was great. When the Steelers' defense ran the show, he came in, handed off a lot, 24 of 25 throws. Now they're having thrown 60 times. He's over his skis. Everybody's got a little bit of somebody, the stars, that they play like. And I think we should appreciate LeBron James because there's never going to be another LeBron James. Last nine times, he has gotten to the playoffs. He's made the finals. That is insane. Insane. Enes Kanter, Portland Trailblazer center. By the way, his teams have reached the conference finals in each of the last two seasons. He's a big personality as well. And Enes Kanter is now joining us live. 10 years in the NBA.
Now, getting old, man.
How are you?
10 years. I'm good, man. Getting old. 10 years.
That's a long time to play in the NBA. Now, LeBron doesn't like the play-in tournament. You guys didn't have to do the play-in tournament. Are you glad you didn't have to plan it, or would you have liked another game?
You know what? I'm glad we didn't do it, obviously, you know, because you always need some, like, especially after a regular season, 4 or 5 days to just get some rest, you know, heal your body and just get ready for who you're going to play against. So I feel like I'm glad that we're not playing the tournament.
So this is a weird season. You go from the bubble to virtually no off season. You guys usually get 120 days. Now you got like 65, 70. Has it been hard? Tell me your body. You're 10 years in the league. Enes, a lot of guys getting hurt. Has it been hard for you? Take me to how hard it's been to just stay energized.
For sure it was hard, man, because we play 72 games in 145 or 46 days. So obviously it was tough. And we had to, I think that the toughest part was, like, we had to get up every morning to go get tested. You know, it doesn't matter what time you land in a new city. You have to wake up the next morning, get tested and stuff. That made us really, really tired because we had to wake up early. But I think, you know, like, yes, like you said, there's so many, you know, back-to-backs, and the schedule has been crazy. So it has been definitely very difficult time than the other years, for sure.
So Denver has won. He'll probably win the MVP, Jokic. He's a very unique player. He may be the best passing big man I've seen since, like, Bill Walton. What is it like to – he's got a big, wide body. He's a lot. What is it like to face him?
I feel like, you know, stop a guy like that, it's a whole team effort. You cannot leave anyone on an island by themselves, you know. And obviously, like you said, it's so hard to even, like, bring him a double team because he's going to pass the ball and for finding an open man. But I think, you know, just like try to stop a guy like that. It's a whole team effort. And I think we did a really good job last game we played against. But it's going to be very, very interesting to see what can we do against him.
So we were talking about Dame Lillard, and I compared him to the Seahawk quarterback, Russell Wilson.
That
he really never changes expression. Highs, lows, he's just the same guy. And Dame's very unique because sometimes when you play up in Portland or Seattle, you know, you're thousands of miles away from a lot of these media centers like Chicago and New York, Boston, Philadelphia. And what is your experience? You've been around the league 10 years. What makes Dame to you? What's the tick? What makes him special? Why is he different?
Probably the most loyal player I have seen. And he loves pressure. He doesn't care about all the haters out there, whatever, whoever talks against his team or his teammate. He wants to go out there and prove everyone wrong. And, you know, I think, you know, one thing about him, what makes him so special is he makes himself better and he makes everybody else better around him. That's what makes him really special. There are only like, there are so many, you know, great players in the league, but they don't make other players better. But with Dame, it's different. And, you know, everyone obviously talks about how good of a, you know, a player he is on the court, but off the court, man, he is unbelievable, man. He's definitely one of the best leaders that I play with.
Does he ever bark at you? Does he ever say, Ennis, get over there?
Never. Actually, never, man. Look, listen, I played 2 years ago against, you know, obviously I went to conference finals, and now I play with him whole season. This guy never, he always, you know, bring his teams up, always try to bring positive energy, always trying to, you know, help the young guys. So never know.
Wow. So are you, let's be honest. The Celtics, I watched them last night. Now they're in a playoff game. First of all, they don't have any size. Let's be honest. They don't have any size. They're small. They could sure use Enes Kanter. They're small. What do you make of what's happened to them this year? Enes, they're not the same team this year.
Very good question.
You can say anyway, it.
What I will say is obviously, you know, they had so many injuries, man. Especially after losing Jaylen Brown, obviously Jaylen was a huge part of what they were doing. And after obviously trading the Daniel Tice, it was tough for them to, you know, just go against like someone big like Joel Embiid or, you know, maybe Jokic or someone who has a, you know, great big and have size. But I think, you know, I mean, they have so many injuries, man. You know, Tatum was out, Jaylen was out, Kemba was out, and, you know, Evan was out. But I feel like, you know, once they get in a playoffs, and I believe they will, you know, they have a really good shot at going against Brooklyn or, you know, Philly. But that's why whenever I talk to Taco, I'm like, dude, listen, you got to stay in shape because you are the only guy who can guard Embiid. You know, so that's why whenever I talk to him like once a week. I'm like, dude, stay in shape.
Yeah. It's okay to admit they made a mistake moving off you. That you can say that. That's not being critical that they made a mistake. What's wrong? That's not a big deal.
Hey, it's a business. You need to understand, you know. So I had an amazing time there. You know, that's the only thing I wish. I wish him the best. But if this was like a 3 years ago in us, it will be a very different kind of answer. But once you are getting all in this league, you learn.
Right.
You know?
I get it. By the way, so what is the one team? The West is very good. The West is better than the East. Is there a team, and maybe it's Denver, is there a team? You guys open up your series against the Nuggets on Saturday, and I'll be watching that. Mm-hmm. That's a very good series. What team do you like your matchup? Or is there a team that, for you in Portland, that gives you a little trouble? I mean, the West got so many. You know, like, nobody talks about Utah. Yeah. Nobody talks. Exactly. And I'm like, Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, great coach. Yeah. Why doesn't anybody talk about Utah?
I know. Hey, I feel like Utah can, I mean, they have a really good team, man. I mean, their bench is good, obviously, with, you know, Clarkson and the Ingles and their favors. You know, what, I mean, what they, I think they have a really good coaching staff. Yes, I think Utah could be a very, very big trouble for everyone. You know, the Suns surprise me, but I don't, they're not scaring me at all, you know. But I think, you know, when I look at the West, I'm trying to think of, obviously, Lakers, when they're healthy, they're going to be up there. Trying to think who else is. Clippers going to be dangerous. But I think, you know, one thing we do, I remember, like, what Coach told us in the locker room. I'm like, so many teams out there trying to win a game or lose a game to match up with a better team or easier team. Coach said, don't mess with the game. Just go out there, try to win every game. And, you know, good things are going to come and find us. Now we're playing against Denver. And I think it's a really good matchup for us.
No question. You guys can score on the front line. Got a great backcourt. Mm-hmm. Enes Kanter of the Blazers, 10 years in the NBA. Love having you on. You're very honest about Boston. That is, I like when you're honest about that. It's okay to admit they screwed up and let you go. That's okay.
I love Boston, man. I never, you know, I love Boston. I had an amazing time. I mean, we made the conference finals, you know.
That's right.
We made the conference finals. We had an amazing run. And I love the guys over there, you know, Taco, Kemba, Tatum, Jalen, Marcus. So they're like my brothers. But, hey, it's business at the end. And guess what? It worked out amazing for me. You know, I came here, played 72 games, averaged double-double, played with amazing players like Melo, CJ, Dame and stuff. So it worked out really well for me. So I'm not complaining at all.
Good for you. Good seeing you again, man.
Always good to see you, man. Big fan of your show, always.
All right. Enes Kanter of the Portland Trailblazers. Big personality. He was very nice there. When you get older, you got to be nicer. Can't just say stuff. He's actually a very offensively proficient guy, and they need him, by the way, between Nurkic and Kanter. They need some offense out of their front court, not just their back court in Portland, because they don't tend to get a lot of scoring on the wing. So we'll see. That's a very, very good series. And Dame, by the way, I think Denver's got more depth, more good players, but Dame has a way of, like, just winning series, like taking, you know, you saw it last night with Jason Tatum. That game was sloppy, and all of a sudden 8 minutes later you're like, okay, Jason Tatum took it over. That's what great players do. Dame will just take, then you don't get 48 minutes of that. Sometimes you get 8 minutes of Jason Tatum's, like, by the way, Tatum was 17-17 from the free throw line, never missed a free throw. So even Michael Jordan, it's spurts. It's these five. I always remember with Michael Jordan, he'd go in these moments and his head would have steam off it. And he would do it. Like, twice a game, Michael would do a six-minute first half, six-minute late, and you're like, you didn't get the whole game. And it was just like, okay. And that Jason Tatum gave you last night. Dame will do that. Like, 6-7 minutes of, he's the best shooter in the world right now. Nobody in the world can do what he can do right now. And you get that with Steph, and you get that with Dame, and you get that with Kevin Durant.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
Saturday, MLB is back on Fox, headlined by an interleague showdown between the Red Sox and Phillies, or it's two of the greatest rivalries in baseball as the Dodgers take on the Giants and the Cubs face the Cardinals. Saturday, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Check local listings for the game in your area.
Enjoy spa-like comfort. Save big on your water bill. Navien tankless water heaters. Visit tanklessmadesimple.com. I'm going to bet money on the Lakers game tonight. Lakers-Warriors. I like the Lakers big. So, FanDuel, whatever you got to do, get me a bet.
I already did yesterday, but I did not take the Lakers big. Took the Warriors close. I mean, I'm taking the Lakers to win, but the Warriors to cover.
So you're taking the Warriors to cover.
Yeah.
All right. Gambling company, go FanDuel. I'm going to make a bet on the Lakers tonight. You know what I almost did yesterday? I almost bought some of that Bitcoin.
Oh, you almost gave in, huh?
Yeah, you know, I'm not going to buy a lot. But just for the ride of it, the fun of it.
It seems like it's it's a fun thing to do.
Like, you get into a convertible. Well, you can't have a convertible all year. You know what messes your hair up? You get sunburnt. But a couple times a year, you just get into a convertible because it's just fun. There's no substance to it. It doesn't get you there faster. You can't carry groceries in that little Fiat. There's no room in the back. You can't take your kids.
Isn't it more cost efficient to just, like, rent the convertible then?
Yeah. I mean, no, you'd never buy a convertible mini sports car if you're married with kids. It's just all vanity. I would never invest in Bitcoin to be my future, but mm-hmm. It's fun. I drive a convertible twice a year. It's just fun. It's just going to be fun. And I don't know. There's a lot of, there's Dogecoin or Dogcoin or what's that called? And then there's Bitcoin and Dogcoin and.
There's a lot of coins.
I think I'm going to do something. Not a lot.
Yeah.
But this tiny bit, it's the up the Pacific Coast Highway Drive. It's just, I want to go have fun for a couple hours. I'm going to buy it low, sell it quickly, make money and buy Christmas gifts.
There you go.
Yeah, and it's guaranteed to win, according to reports.
Yeah, can't lose.
You can't lose on Bitcoin. Everybody wins. Joy with the news.
Free money.
No. Turn on the news.
This is the Herdline News.
Free money. That's what it is.
Sponsored by Mercedes-Benz. The best or nothing.
So the Lakers' road to a second consecutive title starts tonight in the play-in tournament against the Warriors. What a treat, you know? Everyone hates play-in tournament, but this is pretty awesome.
Pretty good game.
The Lakers and the Warriors aren't excited about it.
I don't know how you bet the Warriors. I don't like their team. I like one guy. The rest of it.
I know everyone says it's a bad matchup. The Lakers are going to roll. I still think the Lakers are going to win. I just think it's going to be very close. Right. So they had the best defensive rating in the regular season, but they obviously will be tested by the league's leading scorer, Steph Curry. Anthony Davis said it will be a team effort to contain him, calling Steph the Warriors' head of the snake. And Steve Kerr said they were prepared for L.A. to throw the kitchen sink at their star tonight. I mean, that's what you got to do. That you have to try and stop Steph. He is the key to this whole
thing. Think how great you'd have to be a basketball player. Mm-hmm. Steph doesn't score like 32 occasionally. To average, you think you can play basketball at the Y. He goes into the NBA against the best players. He averages 32 points a game and regularly scores in the 40s.
I talked to Marcus Thompson on my podcast about this because this was a very interesting year for Steph because a lot of people consider Steph to just be a scorer and he's not tough.
Not
and
a leader.
Like baby face. And, you know, he's just, you think you could take Steph, like maybe he would outshoot you, but you're tougher than him. And the reality is, Steph is not that small of a guy. He looks small
because
he's next to guys who are like 7'4". But if Steph ran full speed like he does down the court and put a body on you, whoever you are out there, you would hit the floor and you had bruises on your body for the next week. He does that against NBA players with no pads on.
He's got guns. He's built. If you watch this shot when he hits it, when he comes down the court. Look at his arms.
Here's something
He's
for
6'4"
you.
And ripped.
Go to an NBA court and stand where Steph shoots and then shoot that shot 25 times.
He'll hit it 25.
Your arm will be sore for 3 weeks.
You know, Steve Nash, I know Steve, he worked out at my workout club. So you'd watch Steve Nash in Laker games or Phoenix games, you'd be like, he's tiny.
Very strong.
I'm 6'2", 195. Nash is bigger than me.
Very strong.
Nash is tall.
Very strong. And if you went up and you like push them, like you touch them.
I do that to Nash. I push him all the time.
Oh, yeah. And he does what?
And then
he flicks you off.
He's on the treadmill. I go over there and push him right off.
Face first in the treadmill. Fox Bet has the Lakers favored by 5.5 tonight. The Grizzlies also play today. They are favored by 4.
Lakers roll.
All right. Well, we'll see tonight. So Sabrina Ionescu made history in the WNBA last night. She had 26 points, 10 rebounds, and 12 assists in the New York Liberty's 86-75 win over the Minnesota Lynx. And that stat line made her the youngest player in the WNBA to record in WNBA history to record a triple-double.
How old is she?
She was her sixth NBA WNBA game, which makes her the fastest player to record a triple-double in the league. So before this game, the fastest anyone had ever done that was Cheryl Swoops in her 59th career game. And she's a ninth different player. She's 23 years old. She was the ninth different player in league history and the first player in Liberty history to have a triple-double.
Do you know the
She's a superstar.
Do you know the WNBA in the last 2 years, ratings have gone up more than any other sport in America, men's?
The WNBA ratings for opening weekend are up 25%.
Only sport. And why is that? Because they've got a new commissioner. And she was at Deloitte, company for 30-some years. Commissioners matter. This has been my knock on Bud Selig. 30 years, I didn't get a single marketing campaign I liked. The WNBA's ratings, now this is not a joke, the last 2 years have been through the roof.
They've gone up 25%. That's impossible on television. Like
It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen in anything.
Why? Because they got a commissioner who
markets. It's always been a great product. It's marketing. As we know, a lot of things are marketing. And what I've always said about the WNBA is similar to what we talk about in baseball all the time. Market your stars. Sabrina is an incredible watch. She's a star. Like, she's an instant star. 23 years old. She's a star for the next 15 years.
Marketer.
In New York City. Market your stars. And it's working. They're exploding, and it's great. I love it.
Joy Taylor with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
So, it is interesting. So, the Clippers are, I think, one of the real fascinating teams in the NBA. Now, we all know there's these contracts. So most of these NBA teams, when they lose, they can't just blow stuff up. I mean, Milwaukee may fire their coach, but they're not going to blow stuff up. We know the Lakers, Dennis Schroeder's probably not coming back. He's going to be too expensive. Andre Drummond's probably not coming back. The team that's fascinating to me is the Clippers. And it's really interesting. This Clipper experiment, if they get knocked out before the conference finals, they're making big moves. Number one, Steve Ballmer owns the team. He's not a patient man. Number two, Kawhi's not exactly loyal. And so players show you who they are. Believe them. Same with people. And Jimmy Butler, Chris Paul, Steph Curry, LeBron, the reason they're all great players, they're great athletes, but they're great leaders, and they're all very, very verbal. This is the dilemma you get with Kawhi Leonard. He's nonverbal. He's non-communicative. You don't know when he's going to play. He missed 20 games this year. He doesn't talk a lot. He's a little odd, but yet they've made him the star. So they're not going to get rid of him, although he is a free agent. If he wanted to join Jimmy Butler, they would probably dominate the East for the next several years. So it's the playoffs interesting. If Brooklyn with three stars wins, does a guy like Kawhi look at that, who'll be a free agent, and go, I can't even trust my second guy, Paul George. Why not just go join Jimmy Butler and Bam Adebayo? So I think if Brooklyn wins, I do think there's going to be guys that look around and go, what's the point? Let's just go join the stars. I don't think Kawhi leaves. I think Southern California, born and bred, I think he wants to be here. But if Paul George struggles to get in the playoffs, they are blowing this thing up. They don't have to win the championship, but Paul George struggles and they're out before the conference finals. It's going to be a whole different looking team next year. And so it is interesting when you get a franchise player, personality is important. And I've said this before. It's why I wasn't into Johnny Manziel. It's why I've been critical of Cam Newton. You become the personality of your team. And if you have a cool, calm, collected star, the team feeds off that. Portland feeds off Dame Lillard. They're a pretty good team in crisis. Chris Paul's teams tend to be better defensive teams late in games because that's what Chris Paul is. It is hard to build around Kawhi. He is so unique and so different and nonverbal, and he got his own trainer, may miss 20 games. And so I don't know if this thing's going to work. I really don't know if it's going to work. But, you know, it like Jimmy Butler didn't work in two spots, but he's so intense and committed. He worked in Miami because Spoelstra's committed and Riley's committed and Bam Adebayo's committed. The culture in Miami is, yeah, we know it's a pretty city. We're into basketball, two-hour practices. So Kawhi worked for a year in Toronto. He worked for a couple in San Antonio. Right now, you weigh in on the Clipper thing. I don't know. Does it work? I don't know. I don't know if it does work. And so I think the Clippers are asking the same thing. We're not going to get rid of him, but we got to find either a Batman or a Robin, because if they get bounced early, then the Kawhi thing as your leader is not working. In a city with the Lakers, who could win their second championship in 2 years? And don't kid yourself. The Mets hate when the Yankees win. The White Sox hate when the Cubs win. The Clippers hate when the Lakers win. Like that, there's a big difference. I always said, big difference between your brother's more successful than you and he lives next door and he's more successful than you. Lakers, Clippers share the same building. So if the Lakers excel and the Clippers are out quick, kabloom. I mean, I'd blow this thing up, and I can't wait to watch. All right, Dan Wojcicki covers the Lakers. He'll be joining us next. Good writer.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask?
Along with my fellow Pro Bowler, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Houshmandzadeh, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Good things come to those who wait at Jersey Mike's. They also come to those who don't. Download the app at Jersey Mike's. Order ahead. Cut to the chase. Cut the line. Now through May 23rd, use the code THEHERD for $1 off your order. Dan Wokey covers the Lakers for the LA Times. He formerly covered the Clippers. He's been covering the league for about a decade, and he is now joining us live as the Lakers host the Warriors tonight. So let's talk about this. Listen, we know it's a condensed year. You're playing every other night. You got to get tested every morning. It's a pain in the butt. But it does feel Anthony Davis at just 28 years old. I mean, you're not getting 4 and 5 games without a nagging injury. Wouldn't you be concerned? He just signed a 5-year deal, Dan. Wouldn't you be a little concerned about the number of injuries for AD this year?
Yeah, Colin, I think especially earlier in this season, I think I had some concern. It's not buyer's remorse or anything like that, but it doesn't extend to that level, right? Like the Lakers would sign that contract again and again and again. But I think early in this season, he really struggled before the first like sort of leg and calf injury, the Achilles thing, kind of playing himself into shape, playing himself into rhythm. I think the short off season really affected him more than really probably anybody else on the team. I don't think he did a lot in between the time of the bubble ending and the start of the next year. So he was not very good, especially by his standards early this year. And I think, you know, while he's out and rehabbing and it's taking a long time, you are kind of wondering, like, is this really the future of the franchise? Can he be trusted? Then he came back, Colin, and he's been fantastic, really down the stretch for them. A big part of the reason why they were able to, obviously had a great game against Phoenix and a big win, almost led them to a win in Portland, which would have kept them out of the play-in. And look, this isn't a team that's built on almost and stuff like that. But I think under the circumstances down the stretch, like, he's playing terrific basketball. And I think they feel pretty confident about what he's going to be able to do here in the postseason.
Professional bettors faded the Lakers hard against the Warriors, and I think Los Angeles coasts tonight. I think they're a bad matchup for a very small Warrior team. It is interesting, though. Andre Drummond, they probably don't re-sign him because of Dennis Schroeder. He's going to go to the market. So regardless, AD and LeBron are back next year. Let's say they win a playoff series or two, but they don't get to the championship. Do you think they're a drastically different looking team? Win or lose next year?
I mean, yeah, I think there's going to be some changes. It just sort of is the nature of the situation you're in when you have those two max level players, right? Like, there's going to be a little bit of a shuffle and sort of supporting cast. I mean, you know, you didn't mention Alex Caruso, who's a free agent, and I think has played himself into an interesting sort of role player market. Talen Horton Tucker is a restricted free agent and is a guy who's going to have a lot of interest around the league. Obviously, the Lakers value him. I expect him to be back, but Montrezl Harrell can opt out of the deal. They could look, you mentioned Schroeder, and I think he'll have options. It's an interesting situation that they're in. But I think, Colin, one thing has been true about the Lakers all year, and I kind of think it'll be true about them next year too, and it's not the sexiest thing in the world. It's actually kind of boring. And that's, if LeBron James and Anthony Davis are healthy and effective, like, they're going to have a good chance. Yeah. That's just, I mean, that's, it's as simple as that. And it almost doesn't matter kind of the other stuff. If you're going to have two of the 6 or 7 best players in the league and they're going to be healthy and effective, like, the role players around them will be elevated. That's just the nature of especially those particular players.
Now, the Clippers are a whole different story. Ballmer's impatient. Paul George was historically bad in the postseason, and I love him. This year in the regular season, there was about a five week stretch where Paul George was as good as anybody in the league. But if he struggles again, Steve Ballmer, the ejection button's right next to him. What if the Clippers, what if they're out in the second round? Like, what happens to this organization, one you've covered?
It's a really good question, and I think it's sort of like the fact that we're asking the question sort of speaks to just the general feeling of dread that comes along when you talk about the Clippers or around the Clippers, is that all of this stuff is like, it's much easier to go to the what if, like, something goes drastically wrong, right? Because historically it has. And I think they've got some really interesting choices. Like, you know, I think of, like, look, they've got two of the best players that they've ever had in their franchise's history in Paul George and Kawhi Leonard, right? Like, I mean, two probably of the five best players that have ever worn their uniform. Paul George has had an all-NBA year this year. He's been fantastic. We'll see if that translates in the postseason, where it always hasn't for him. Kawhi has struggled a little bit down the stretch, which is a little bit of a concern. They're going to need him to be good. And look, they shoot a lot of jump shots, Colin, and that makes me, I think, a little nervous about where they're at heading into this playoffs. But, you know, to me, I still think that they need the same thing that they've needed really for 2 years. And I think it is, you know, they need a leader. They need sort of a vocal leader type player. I think they tried to address that at the trade deadline and the Rondo deal. A lot of people didn't like that trade. I really did for them, because I thought it sort of addressed what I viewed to be like their most glaring need, is it's somebody who can organize the offense and somebody who, you know, has a strong voice. You know, can they address that in free agency? Can it be Kyle Lowry? You know, I've always felt like, you talk to people around the league and it's like, boy, the Clippers need a player that's like Kyle Lowry. Well, he's a free agent. I don't know how they can do it. It's going to be tough. He's going to have a really robust market. But, you know, that's what I think. I think they're still in the adding phase before they're in, like, the total, like, blow it up phase. Just because, I mean, if you look around the league and look, they're in a much better position than they were a decade ago, because they've proven that they can sign players, right?
Yeah.
But they just gave Paul George that huge extension. You look around the league, like, you don't want to be in a situation. They don't have any draft picks. It's like, this is not the time for them to want to build. Like, the plan for them is to be good and to be continuously good. You know, they've got plans for a new building. They want to be ascending still and competitive. And sort of like, you know, with the Lakers, if you have Kawhi Leonard, you have Paul George, like, those guys are good enough that you can build around that. One name I haven't mentioned, Ivica Zubac has turned himself into a really interesting young player.
Yeah.
And a guy that, if they were going to make a move, you know, he's certainly a name that would be,
yep,
at the headline of any sort of deal. He's been really, really good for them this year.
All right, 1 minute left. Give me an upset. I like Milwaukee in the finals, which is a terrible pick because they have to open with Miami, and Miami matches up.
Yeah.
Miami matches up great with Milwaukee, and I think that's a long series. Any upsets? Could Portland beat a Denver? Do you have any sense here? A little bit of an upset.
Yeah, I mean, I think Portland is certainly a team that's played so well down the stretch. Their defense with Jusuf Nurkić on the court has been great. I love the Norman Powell trade for them. They're certainly one of those teams, I think. I'm curious to see how the Celtics perform. And the reason why I say Boston, and obviously, look, they're not going to make the finals. The Jaylen Brown injury, you know, their depth is so bad, but man, Jason Tatum is good. And I think, like, the general sense in the playoffs, right, is like, if you have the best guy on the court, maybe you can make something happen. And look, they're not going to beat Brooklyn. That's just not going to happen, but they could be tough and they could be a challenge. And Jason Tatum could go into that series and kind of wreck things up for a little bit. So that's a player I've really enjoyed watching here lately. But yeah, this Colin, the most exciting thing about this postseason is that, like, nobody really knows anything right now, because this season was so weird. These teams are all so strange. They've been affected by injuries. They're getting healthy or they're getting hurt down the stretch. It's like, this is going to be a wild playoffs, man.
Dan Wookie, LA Times, covers the Lakers. Good talking to you, man.
Thanks, Colin.
You bet. Good things come to those who wait and to those who don't. Jersey Mike's, May 23rd. Now through May 23rd, use the code THEHERD to get a buck off your order. And Warriors-Lakers is tonight's Discover Card Key matchup. They match all the cash back you earn on your credit card end of the first year automatically. Go to discover.com/yes, discover.com/yes. Limitations do apply. So there you go. Michael Jordan's former trainer, Tim Grover, is going to be joining us next hour. He's a very interesting guy. He's trained the very best people in the world, and he's going to be joining us. Very excited for the NBA playoffs. You know, that's just the way it works in our biz. There's these down times, and then you get very busy weeks like the NFL draft week. And for the next probably seven, 8 weeks, a lot of NBA playoffs. And I think Memphis is going to beat the Spurs tonight. They're at home. Yeah, that's what I think. It's a passing of the guard. Greg Popovich, very close to retiring. Very Belichickian. The star left, not the same. The system doesn't work when the star leaves. I'll take Memphis tonight over San Antonio. All right. Hour number three, right around the corner. I'm going to eat. Jersey Mike subs are here. It's The Herd.